It's time for The Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's The Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Car Doctor program on Salem Radio Boston. My name is John Paul, the Car Doctor, here to help you with your car problems on the Saturday. Yes, I'm live today. And what happened? Where have I been the last 2 weeks? Well, it was my 40th wedding anniversary. So my wife and I went away, and we went away to the Dominican Republic, Punta Cana. And we stayed at the lovely Iberostar Bavaro Suites, which is the Iberostar is a huge hotel chain. And this is one that is, they have hotels all over the world, including Cuba. And we went to the Iberostar Bavaro, which is right on Punta Cana Beach, Bavaro Beach right in Punta Cana, and it is just, it's a delightful place. We booked it through AAA Travel, and it was just, everything was great. It was a week of relaxation, and the reason why we did it on Saturday was that was the only flights I could find. We were looking for direct flights because we didn't want this to be happening as the plane was taking off. And what's this, you say, if you're listening on the internet? It's snowing out. And we don't want to be stuck somewhere in an airport waiting to go on vacation in the snow. So we decided, let's go on Saturday. Saturday, that's a flight, direct flight. It was good. Stayed there. Franklin, the assistant manager at the hotel, was great. Everybody was great. If you're a little nervous about going to the Dominican because you've heard that everybody speaks Spanish and English, if you know six words of Spanish, which is about all I know, you can get by just fine. Everybody's nice. I would say easily 40% of the people speak English. It's just a good time, and it's just, if you want to go someplace, and our whole point was just to go and do nothing. We went and just relaxed, went to the beach, ate, relaxed, just a good time. So if you're looking for a place that's a good time, and you're looking for a place that's relaxing, and if you're not, well, there actually was a very nice golf course, but I don't play golf, so it was all good. Hey, if you're thinking about this time in your life, maybe not today, but if you're thinking about this time in your life, that I'm thinking about buying a motorcycle. And a lot of people do, whether they're 20 years old, whether they're 50 years old or older, and they say, you know what, I'm going to buy a motorcycle. But you really should learn how to ride it. And with us on the phone is Rick Siegel from Training Wheels. And Rick teaches people that very thing. Rick, good morning and welcome back to the Car Doctor program.
Well, thanks, John. Great to be here. Let's rewind to Dominican for a quick moment. I went down there. If you wear a Red Sox shirt, people are way nicer to you as well.
You're absolutely. In fact, what I did, I was sort of angling for a late checkout, and I brought a Red Sox shirt with me that still had the Fenway Park tag on it. And I went into the assistant manager and I said, hey, you know, what I'd really like you to do is, you know, one of your employees that did a great job this week, give him this shirt. And, oh, by the way, can I get a 2 o'clock checkout? And he said, absolutely.
Sure, that worked.
Yeah, it worked great. But, yeah, I became Mr. Boston. Oh, Mr. Boston. So it was all good. Everybody wanted to know if I knew Big Poppy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, it's motorcycling's the same way as being a Red Sox fan. It's sort of you're an instant celebrity when you're a Red Sox fan in most places other than New York, I suppose. But when you have a motorcycle, it's the same thing. Everybody wants to start talking to you, and then of course all the motorcyclists want to start talking to you, where you've been and where you're going. So it's really fun sport to be involved with.
And it's also something that, you know, a lot of people think, oh, motorcycles are dangerous or they're this or they're that, but they're you're not surrounded by metal, but it's really about what you know and what you know about other people on the road and what you've learned and how you've learned, right?
Well, you have a great point. The last thing you're expecting to hear from somebody who owns a motorcycle school for 17 years and trained 30,000 students is to have me agree with you and say that motorcycles, they are dangerous. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
You know, you're exposing yourself out there. There's a lot of cars
they
out
only,
there.
They only got two wheels.
Distraction. Exactly. There's, you know, it gets the distractions are out of control right now with people just not paying attention to you. So really, what we try to instill in our students is the mechanics of riding. That's actually pretty easy to do. We can show everybody how to get up and riding in an enclosed parking lot in a controlled environment in about an hour. The last 14 hours of the course is accident avoidance techniques and what to be aware of when you're out there. And that's actually more important than anything else.
Yeah, it really is. And it is, you know, once people get comfortable on a motorcycle and once they focus on what they need to do, it is you know, people who ride all the time, and we have a regular listener, Rick from Boston, who he's probably riding today. You know, he's one of those guys who just rides all the time, and you know, he'll tell me some stories, but he likes nothing more than being on his motorcycle, and people it's just something they love to do once they're out there. And I don't know where they go exactly sometimes, because I know they're on the road, but I think they become, you know, it's a little zen like sometimes when everything's right, isn't it?
It really is. You get into the zone, and there's nothing around you. You have no choice but to concentrate on everything you're doing. So, like for instance, there's all this technology available with GPSs and Bluetooth and radios and phones while you're on the car, and also available on the motorcycle. But when you're out there, you just want to get into that zen moment and just have no distractions other than riding the motorcycle. And it really takes you to a whole other place. It clears your mind, and it's fantastic. I find it great. I hear a lot from people who, you know, the ADD type of people, like high energy people, and they say the only time I can actually get into that zen moment where my mind closes down is when I'm on my motorcycle. And you would think it would be completely different because of the adrenaline rush, but it's not. You're surrounded by nothing. You're just you're just excited to be where you are right now.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's really fun. The bikes right now, it's part of the challenge that we have right now is that the manufacturers are just trying to outdo each other technology-wise, and this is a sort of a trend that's happening in the past couple of years in the motorcycle training world. Is, you know, they're trying to, the financing is very easy right now. They'll finance things for, you know, 20 years practically, so you can get into them pretty easily. The bikes go very fast, whereas in the old days, you'd buy a 350 and it would be a dog. You know, you couldn't get yourself in too much trouble as an entry-level bike. And now, even the 250s and the 300s. Will go 100 miles an hour. So a little bit of a challenge right now is try to keep everybody sort of tempered and ease into the sport at their own risk tolerance.
Well, let's talk about your school. How's, you know, Karen, my producer, wants to buy a motorcycle. She's hoping somebody will buy her one for Christmas. And, you know, she's never been on anything with two wheels except a bicycle. What happens when they come to your school?
Okay, well, there's the course itself is, it's a national curriculum that we're teaching from the Motorcycle Safety Foundation. Mm-hmm. So there's hundreds of thousands of people that have taken this course. And so they have a lot of experience as to who does well the first time around and what tweaks have to be made. And I kind of take it a step further with our company. We've trained 30,000 people, and we have an experience now. We know who's going to do well right out of the gate. So if you've ridden dirt bikes when you were a kid, or you rode in college and you're getting back onto it, you're going to do pretty well in the two-day class. The people that have never been on a motorcycle before and are very nervous and haven't done anything active for a very long time that want to jump right into it, we take it one step further. We always recommend come in for about 2 hours one-on-one with an instructor and just sort of calm your nerves, learn the motorcycle, and then when you get into the group setting, you're now more prepared. You're a better student for the group setting. And we found that one little tweak makes all the difference in the world for someone like Karen, who has never been on a motorcycle before. And it works out really well, actually, because we want the ultimate goal is for us is to create a safe and confident rider. And if you're too nervous going into it, then it's a tough hill sometimes.
And as part of the course, is it Is it classroom based? Is it track based? Is it a combination of both? Do you take the student in and out of the classroom? How's that work?
Well, it's the entire course is typically done over 2 days, mm-hmm. and it's 5 hours in a classroom session and 10 hours of riding. So we do about 5 hours of riding out on what we call the range.
Mm-hmm.
And the classroom component actually doesn't have too much to do with riding the motorcycle. That's the part where we start talking about positioning of the lane when you're making a turn. There's a silly little thing that new motorcyclists don't quite realize, and this is the type of thing that we cover in the classroom, is that when you're parking a motorcycle and you're brand new to it, and your only reference to parking vehicles in a car, a lot of rookie motorcyclists will park downhill. So if your parking spot goes even in a slight incline and you pull into it and you go, great, I got a good spot, I'm going to park my bike, well, guess what happens? When you get out of that ice cream shop, you have to actually pull the bike up and move it backwards, which is very difficult to do, especially because there's no reverse on any of these bikes. So the little silly things that we teach new riders about pulling into a spot like that in reverse, circling around and finding the right position. There's other things in the classroom that we talk about that have nothing to do with riding that are just as important as learning how to ride is be visible. Everyone wants to ride with black coats and gray helmets, and it drives me crazy. I mean, they're gorgeous, and they're so tough-looking, and I love it. It looks like it's a great look, and motorcycles that are black and gray are really just, they're sexy. They're awesome. But at the same time, as again, it's coming from somebody who, you know, teaches people to ride motorcycles and wants to keep them upright and safe. Wear white, wear fluorescent, wear bright colors, be seen. That's the key. So those are the things that we really drive home in the classroom component.
And some of the new leathers actually have the retro-reflective stuff built right in, right?
They do, and they're fantastic. They work really well. There's this reflective technology. I don't think I've ever used that expression before, but it's amazing because you can buy something as simple as a sticker that goes on your panniers, your luggage boxes, or your you can actually just buy the fabric put right in. So
yeah.
Be seen. That's
I was watching Chronicle last night, and they were down at Vanson Leathers, and Vanson down in, where are they, New Bedford or Fall River? I mean, they make great stuff, but you're out and you're on a black motorcycle dressed in black, you know, how well are you going to be seen at dusk or, you know, morning daylight?
Right, and you know that in conjunction with the perfect storm of people texting, the sun hitting you, it's hitting people in the eyes, mm-hmm. you know, right around 4:30, 5 o'clock this time of year, or maybe even a little earlier this time of year. You know, you just want to make sure you're aware. Another thing we bring to people's attention in the classroom component is what time of day is it, and what are the car drivers looking at?
Mm-hmm.
Are they seeing sun? Are they seeing you? So that's the thing. Those are the things that we want to put in the forefront of everyone's mind. And then going back to Vanson, I mean, what a great place to have that place local is amazing. If you haven't gone down there, especially on a motorcycle trip, go down there and check it out. It's just it's old school factory mill building, and they make it there, and it's just a really cool company, and they do a great job. I mean, there's body armor that you can put in your jackets, and it's really some cool stuff down there.
And it actually smells like a factory. It's got that sort of, I don't know, there's something about when I was, and maybe it's my imagination, but when I was a kid, I lived within walking distance of where they made Knapp shoes, and I remember as a kid, you'd kind of sneak through there on the way home from school, and the time I went into Vanson, and you just walk in, and you smell the leather, and, you know, you know their oiling machine somewhere, and it just had that kind of, you're right, that kind of cool, old-school kind of feel to it.
It did. You're right. You feel authentic.
Yeah.
Versus walking into sort of a store where they have great displays, but there's no smell. There's no sense of smell.
Yeah.
Right.
What's the biggest mistake a novice motorcycle rider makes?
Let's see. The biggest mistake is getting. You know what? There's so many to choose from, but one of them that I keep seeing over and over again is people who graduate from the class and they go out and they buy the bike of their dreams. So they go out and buy the biggest bike they have, or maybe they get some bad advice from a friend that says, don't buy that bike. You'll outgrow it in a month, and you'll have to get a bigger one. Mm-hmm. That's not true. It's not true. You'll never outgrow a bike in a month. You may outgrow it in a season, but just realize that there's always somebody right behind you who wants to buy it from you, especially at the entry-level spot. So the biggest mistake I make is people get into a bike that's too big. And the analogy sometimes I tell people is, you know, you go to learn to fly. You're not going to go out and buy a, you know, big corporate jet. You're going to go buy a little Piper and you know, something to get around and comfortable with before you get into those sort of things. And it's not fun. You'll get there. I mean, you'll definitely eventually be able to ride that big bike of your dreams. It's just that it's not going to be a fun journey doing it. You're going to be stressed out and until you get there. So even if it takes a couple months or a year to get a smaller bike that's more manageable, we actually use the word, you know, we want you to manhandle the bikes. That's why we teach you on really small bikes. Even if you look ridiculous on it, if you're 6'8" and you're riding our little 250s, that's all right. We won't take your picture, but we want you to manhandle it so you can concentrate on the exercises and the components that we're trying to teach you.
I remember I said something once to somebody about don't buy a bike bigger than you can pick up if it falls over.
Well, I have a response to that too. I have people call up and they say I'm nervous that when I drop it I can't pick it up. And well, first of all, if you drop your bike, you're never going to be alone picking it up. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
If you drop your bike, I don't care where you are. If you're on the side of 93 or you're on the side of the road, people run over and help you. Okay. Second of all, I tell people, don't drop it. It's not part of the game. It's not part of what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to drop these things. So there's really no reason to drop them. But you're right. It's the theory about getting into a bike that's too big is it too heavy at slow speeds? Everybody can drive anybody can drive a bike going straight 60 miles an hour on a highway, providing you don't have to stop it or turn. That's easy, the driving part. The hard part's going through stop and shop parking lot at 15 miles an hour, people pulling out in front of you. Can you control the bike? And the components there that you want to really think about are, is it top heavy? Is it big bearing? Where do you sit in regards to the gas tank? So you want to keep things lower, below your knees as much as possible. So those are the parts where you want to be more concerned about how big the bike is versus can you pick it up? And the other thing that I always like to remind people is about engine sizes, especially right now in this day and age where people are the manufacturers are trying to outdo each other. The only reason you buy a larger horsepower bike, a bike that has more power, is it depends on the weight that you're carrying. If you're a big person and you're going solo, then sure, get a bigger bike than somebody who weighs, you know, 110 pounds and doesn't have any intentions of riding with a passenger. If you're plan on riding with a passenger, then of course you should start thinking about maybe getting into a little bit more of a bike that can support that at higher speeds especially. But to go in, if you're riding solo and you're an average weight, if you're even under 200 pounds, anything above a 600 or 650, it's more than you need. So you can save some money that way by getting into a smaller bike. It really depends on what you're going to be riding.
And don't do like what I saw many people in the Dominican doing on 100cc bikes with like a family of four.
Exactly. Well, I think it looks good there, though. I still chuckle when I see those emails.
Yeah.
We'll send those pictures out.
How about helmet choice? Years ago, my wife decided she wanted to learn how to ride a motorcycle. We went to a motorcycle shop. We went shopping for a helmet, and the sales guy walked her over to the most expensive helmet. She walked back to the cheaper one, and he said to her, "Well, you know, you don't want this cheap helmet. You know, what happens if you crash?" And she said, "I have no intention of crashing. I don't care about that." But how about when it comes to helmet choice?
Attitude.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the way it works with helmets is that just because it's 10 times as much money as the first helmet doesn't mean that it's 10 times as much safer. So, yes, there's certainly some things that are going to make your helmet safer, but the reason you're spending money on a helmet is the weight of the helmet, the components that it's made, the carbon fiber, or is it just sort of the fiberglass? The deafening or the sound, is it going to lower the level of sound and the buffeting? What's the visor like? So those, and how's the fit? There's things like that. But in regards to safety, they sort of, I know the manufacturers will probably kill me for saying something like this, but I think they're all going to do the trick pretty much more or less the same, providing you have the right fit.
Yep.
When you get into riding, we always recommend, of course, get a full face helmet. It's not one of the prettiest segments of the classroom that we go through, but we sort of describe that three quarters of the accidents that happen or three quarters of the injuries car sort of on your face. You know, it's only 25% chance that you're going to hit the side or the back of the head. So why not protect yourself? And the other part that's challenging, I mean, we try to be real world about this, you know, not just shove safety down everybody's throat, because we are motorcyclists. We didn't get into this because we love teaching things. We're motorcyclists, and then we want to take it a step further. We know that it's way cooler to wear those small little helmets, and we know it's way more comfortable to wear sort of a three-quarter or half helmet, especially in the summertime. Excuse me, but try a full-face helmet right out of the gate, and you'll love it. Even in the hot summer, the events, you can open the visors, you do get used to it. So, for instance, I've spent time in Colorado where I really started learning how to ride, and they don't have a helmet law out there. So I went from Colorado without a helmet law when I was a kid, you know, in my 20s, and then came back to Massachusetts and where there's a helmet law, and then eventually got into a full-face helmet, and I said, oh, I'll never be able to do this. I can't see anything. It's claustrophobic. And eventually, you get to a point, very quickly, you go, you know what, I can see everything. It's just in my mind. And it's to a point where, like, driving a car without a seatbelt right now is, like, for me to not wear a helmet or even a full-face helmet. It's just that uncomfortable. So you eventually get there. But go full-face and go for bright colors.
Yep.
And good fits.
And what's nice, when people go through your school, they are now licensed, right?
They are. So what happens is you get your permit first, and then you, which is pretty easy to do. You don't need an appointment. You just go down to the registry and say, hey, I want to get a motorcycle permit. They give you a test on a computer. You want to study for it. They have online at the registry's website, they have downloads of the test. We have it on our website as well. So people study for it. And we say, don't overthink it. Just, you know, if you're drinking coffee in the morning and eating your oatmeal, that's when you want to read it. Just kind of help yourself if you answer some of the questions. You come to the class with the permit, and then when you pass the course, we actually notify the registry that you've passed, and they mail you the motorcycle license in the mail. So the registry's been incredibly supportive of our industry and helping us out locally, and they don't want you back in the registry. They said, you know, we trust these guys. They passed the course, and we're just going to send them the license and not make them go through the hassle of coming back. So they love that. And they've also helped facilitate a discount with the insurance. So if you pass our course, there's a law actually in Massachusetts where you get 10% off your insurance. It's off of the compulsory part of the insurance. So it usually saves anywhere from $50 to $100 a year by passing the class. So the registry is a huge supporter of what we do.
And yeah, I remember, you know, a billion years ago when I got my motorcycle license, it was almost snowing. It was I think it was March, and there was a little bit of snowflake in the air, and it was sort of go out behind the registry building, do two figure eights, shift once or twice, and the registry guy, you could tell he was just cold and tired of standing outside, and he waves me over and he goes, yeah, you're all set, go inside. And to be honest, I didn't know anything. You know, I kind of knew how to ride it, you know, ride around in circles and make figure eights, but I got my license, but I was not a motorcycle rider. I was somebody who just had a motorcycle license.
There's a lot of hope and faith in that concept. The registry sort of, in that scenario, the registry, all right, good luck. We hope you're going to go about it the right way. So we want to take the wild card out of there and just go, hey, listen, let's make sure that you guys know how to do this. So some states make it mandatory to take the course. Quite honestly, again, I might surprise you by saying this. I don't ever want it to become mandatory in Massachusetts because what happens is we go to conferences across the country, and we talk to other site owners, we're called, you know, that own the school. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are mandatory, people go there to the classes, and so it's always a handful of people, if not half of them, in the back of the room with their arms folded going, I don't need this stinking class. I know everything. I'm only taking because I have to. Whereas it changes the whole dynamic of the class, where it's sort of a wah-wah kind of thing for some people, where some people are there for the right reason. Whereas everybody in Massachusetts takes it because they want to. Nobody's making anybody take the course. So they get there, and all of a sudden, the enthusiasm of why everybody's there, everybody has a great story as why they want to get into riding. Nobody ever comes in with a bad story. They all come in with, like, hey, I've been riding on the back, and I want to do it myself, or I rode a long time ago, or my mother or my father rode, and now I want to. So there's always a great story, and the enthusiasm just sort of plays out over the weekend. So I love that part of it. I want to keep it fun. I don't want to ever turn it into a boring factory.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tell us where people can find more information, and where do you do your courses?
Well, we have 9 locations in Massachusetts, and the name of the company is Training Wheels, and you can find us by just Googling Training Wheels, I suppose, but also trainingwheelsonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 9 locations across Massachusetts, going as far west as Pittsfield and Greenfield, and then we go up here to Bedford and Framingham and Brockton and Cape Cod and Easton and Plimpton. So there's in Norwood, there's quite a few to choose from. We've got 40 amazing instructors that work here, and the bar to work here is very high. But I will say, if anyone out there is interested in becoming a motorcycle instructor, it's a somewhat of a long process, but it's worth it. So if anyone's ever interested, they can certainly go to our website and fill out an application. And we make it really easy for you. We give everybody a sort of we call it a concierge on the phone. It's not just about learning how to ride a motorcycle, but if you ever have a question about buying a motorcycle, or even right down to what you talked about, helmets, or what dealerships to go to, what motorcycle I should be looking at, we want you to call us. We have an office staff, and that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that you're a lifelong rider, a safe rider, and that's kind of how we roll.
That's great. That's great. Hey, Rick, thanks for taking some time out of your snowy Saturday morning, I guess.
And my pleasure. Thanks for having me. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody.
You as well. Take care. Bye-bye now. That was Rick Siegel. Training Wheels is the name of his school. Training Wheels Online is his website. Why don't we take a break, pay some bills when we come back? Might do a little bit of Christmas-based trivia when we come back. My name is John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on Salem Radio Boston, AM 950 WROL, or AM 1260 WBIX.
Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. Police, stop my car. Police, stop my car. The police made me stop. Walk a straight line and blow a balloon up. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always put me over Christmas. They say they're just making sure that there's no open bottles in my car. They wanna wish me a sober Christmas. That's why they always put me over Christmas. They say they're just making sure that there's no open bottles in my car.
En Honda sabemos que durante estas fiestas no hay nada peor que llegar tarde, especialmente a la fiesta de Año Nuevo.
Marco, ¿dónde estabas? Te perdiste casi toda la fiesta.
¿Y mi beso de Año Nuevo?
¿Tu beso?
Sí.
Hasta el próximo año, Marquito.
No te pierdas lo mejor de estas fiestas. Ve ya al evento Navidades Honda y obtén una super oferta en el Honda Accord 2017.
Ven a nuestro evento Navidades Honda, donde puedes obtener un vehículo nuevo con interés de tan solo 0.9%. Y como regalo de Navidad con tu compra, te llevas $200 en accesorios o un starter a control remote. Apresúrate, que la oferta termina el 2 de enero del 2017. Visítanos en el 100 Broadway, Ruta 99, Everett, Mass. O en el web www.hondacarsofboston.com o llama al teléfono 617-487-4747, 617-487-4747, porque todo es en familia. Honda Cars of Boston en Everett.
Dr. Denton Lotz, senior pastor of Tremont Temple Baptist Church, invites you to listen every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for a word from the pulpit of Tremont Temple, right here on the Spirit of Boston, 950 WROL. You're also invited to enjoy warm worship and fellowship every Sunday at 11 a.m. in the sanctuary of Tremont Temple, 88 Tremont Street in Boston City Center. Tremont Temple's podcasts are available 24/7 at WROLradio.com and WEZERadio.com.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-518-4020. 800-518-4020. That's 800-518-4020.
WROL Boston.
You're listening to the Car Doctor program with Triple A's very own John Paul. All of us here would like to take this moment to wish you a joyful holiday season. Remember to drive safely, wear your seatbelts, and be good to your car. Merry Christmas, everyone. Now back to the program.
You're listening to The Car Doctor.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, or maybe if you're listening on Sunday nights, AM 1260 WBIX. Well, a little bit later on, we're going to be giving away tickets to the Boston Auto Show. Not quite yet, though. Don't do anything yet. But we are going to be doing trivia. And trivia is a little Christmas trivia. So you can, and it's and we'll have a musical answer. But in the... in the Christmas song, Santa Baby, there's a car reference. There's a car reference. What is the car reference in the song, Santa Baby? If you know the answer to that, we will give you a prize. So if you know the answer to what was the car reference in Santa Baby, we'll give you a prize. So you need to call 617-770-3030. 617-770-3030. What was the car reference in the song Santa Baby? Give us a call and you'll win a prize. Well, I have a couple of things. There's been a few things that people have sent to me lately and they've asked me to review them. And I finally got to them. Vacation's good for that. One of them is a snow brush. Say, hey, a snow brush is a fairly simple thing. This is made by a company in Finland called, I believe it's Kung, K-U-N-G-S. It's made in Finland. It's a lightweight snow brush. It's kind of an aluminum handle sort of thing. It's expandable. It has an ice scraper, like all snow brushes do. But the ice scraping blade is removable, and it actually has a slot in it, which is kind of unique. For if your windshield wipers are kind of dirty or got some ice crusting on them, you can take the slot and you take the little scraper blade out, and you can take it and kind of clean your windshield wiper blades with it, which kind of a little neat idea. It has an extra long brush head, so it's like the brush head's like 12 inches long, so it's this long brush head, so that's kind of nice for removing snow off the car. The ice scraper blade has both serrated and smooth edges, so if you need to kind of chop through the ice, you can do that. Overall, it feels like a good quality tool. It's made for both, I guess, Finnish and New England winters. It seemed to do a good job. The next thing that I saw, which was pretty good, is a it's a dash cam, and you've probably heard about dash cams before. People put them on. Well, this one's by Magellan, and I've used a dash cam in the past. Some work better than others, but this is called the Magellan MyView 420, and it kind of steps it up a little bit. So, why do you need a dash cam? Well, you never know, something could happen in front of you, an insurance claim, something, you never know. So being able to record that is good. One area that I have a real problem with when I'm driving, sometimes I'm not technology distracted sometimes, but I'm an observer of humanity. I don't text. I rarely talk on the phone, but I do watch people. And if something crazy happens on the road that I want to show someone, this little dash cam actually records it and records it in really good high quality. Drivers are vulnerable to fraudulent claims and accidents, vehicle vandalism, road rage. Well, this can, you know, make sure you do that. If you have a Jeep or other four-wheel drive and you want to capture those crazy dash cam videos that you see on YouTube, you could do that. It's an ideal gift for anyone on the road, especially campers and outdoor adventurers. It's ultra high definition. It mounts on the windshield. It records both video and audio. Here's some of the features. It actually has a lane departure alert. So if you're drifting out of the lane, it actually beeps and tells you. It has front collision avoidance, just like some of the most expensive modern cars. A little icon appears when the driver is getting too close to the car ahead. It's got a G-Shock sensor that just in case you do get into a crash, it freezes that part of the film, digital memory, I guess. It has GPS tracking, so it actually can date and timestamp and document where you are. Again, it's HD mode. It's got a parking mode, storage of up to 128 gigabytes, wide-angle lens, 140-degree lens, and it's got a cruise speed alarm, so you can actually set the speed. One of the things I was thinking about, if you're an Uber driver or Lyft driver, this is a good way to document your trip, and maybe even have one that aims inside, one that aims outside. So, you know, maybe not a bad idea. And a little bit later, we'll talk about the last thing, which was a Bluetooth speaker, which is pretty cool. So I'm looking for the answer of the name, the car reference in the song Santa Baby. Let's try Bonnie. Bonnie?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I like your reference to having one inside and outside. I would especially recommend that for anyone with toddlers in the back seat.
That's a good idea, too, yeah.
Well, it might save a fight, or you wouldn't have to stop and pull over and thrash them. 54 convertible, light blue.
Well, let's see. We have it here. Let's see if we can get to it. But light blue convertible is what I was looking for, so. Start to play. And I'll tell you what, Bonnie, we'll put you on hold. And we will get your name and address down. We'll send you down out a nice prize while the song's playing, okay?
Okay.
Stay right there.
Thank you.
Yep.
Slip a sable under the tree for me. I've been an awful good girl, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue.
And there's the answer, a 54 convertible.
Light
blue. So Bonnie is correct. So we will get Bonnie's name and address down. And this version, by the way, is sung by a coworker of mine, Kayla Broadmeadow. That's actually her singing the song and playing the guitar. No extra musical enhancements there, so congratulations to her. We will we'll play that a little bit later, too, because I kind of like that song, and it is the Christmas spirit, after all. So we'll let Karen get caught up with what she has to do. Well, I talk about the car that got me here today, which was the Kia Cadenza. And the Kia Cadenza is a four-door mid-size sedan with all the luxury features you would expect. And I don't know. Why don't we take Mike's phone call, and Karen can get Bonnie's information at the same time. Michael!
Hey, good morning. How are you, car doctor?
Good. How are you?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Thank you. Hey, I just want to call you about something I see as a big threat coming on board, and it's under the wonder what the AAA is going to do about it. Is I don't know if you watch these car commercials, especially insurance commercials, but I know the one with Flo on it, so I won't mention the name of the company, now offer a discount if you connect one of their modules to your 26-pin connector onto your dashboard so they can monitor your driving habit. I foresee this is the way that at some point in the near future, if you don't plug that thing in, your rates are going to be twice as much. I think it's big government. Am I just smoking this up?
Nope. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, they will tell you, Flo will tell you that Oh, no. All we're going to do, we're not going to tell you when you're driving bad. We're only going to tell you when you're driving good. Do you believe that?
No.
No. Nobody believes that.
And
I think two things are going to happen. First off is the 26-pin ALDL connector is probably in the next couple of years going to go away because they just can't pump enough information through it anymore. And the other thing that happens is that connector was really only designed to pull information away. It was never designed to be pinged thousands of times an hour, which is what that snapshot device does. In fact, we at AAA, we looked into something like that because we kind of thought it was sort of the future too. What we've decided is it may not be the future at all. It may be actually too old. There's actually a local company in Massachusetts that actually has a device that is actually part of your cell phone, so it doesn't plug into the car at all. But what it is, it's more of a monitoring device for your kids or your location of your vehicle. So it's not actually using your car at all, which I have seen the snapshot devices cause shifting problems in some cars. In my own car, I tried one out, and it would turn on the traction control light intermittently with no reason.
Wow.
So the devices aren't, you know, they use them for, they use that port for something it was never really made for. And you're right, it's one of those things.
Hello?
Yeah, so it's one of those things that you have to look out for. I think it is a little bit of Big Brother, but, well, you know, Time will tell where it's going to be. You know, we're very concerned about privacy. That's one of the things. We actually have all these kind of privacy covenants when it comes to you operating your vehicle. And that's why one of the things when we did Right to Repair involved a telematics component. And the telematics component, we think you as the owner of the vehicle should decide what information gets transmitted to who, and you're the only one who makes that decision. Yeah, the auto manufacturer, it's their car, but on the other hand, can they share it with someone else like an insurance company? Only if you give them permission.
Right, and the insurance company doesn't have to insure you if they don't want to.
That's right.
But
yeah.
Hey, just a quick up note, one quick thing. I'm going out to the CES show next month in Las Vegas, and I noticed that Fiat Chrysler is going to... That might be a new one for the first.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
They're going to make all their announcements at CES, not Detroit. That shows you with electronic cars.
Yeah. No, in fact, I got the announcement for CES, and I think there's going to be 8 different vehicle manufacturers there.
Well, if you make it, I'll buy you dinner. How's that?
All right. Hey, sounds like a good deal.
Okay, see you later.
All right, take care. Bye-bye now. Why don't we take another break, pay some bills, and I believe shortly we're going to be talking to Gene from Honda Cars of Boston. Honda Cars of Boston has been a good sponsor to the radio station here, and I want to, we got the opportunity to chit-chat with them because there are some great deals going on right now at Honda Cars of Boston. Year-end clearance, and it's going to run right till January 2nd. So it's just, if you're thinking about buying a Honda, and Honda makes some great vehicles. In fact, you know, some people say to me, who makes the best vehicles in the world? And you have to think Honda Engineering does a fantastic job of putting those vehicles together. And this is an interesting dealership because Honda Cars of Boston didn't necessarily start off as a Honda dealership. So if Karen's ready, why don't we take that quick break, and we'll go from there. We'll be right back.
Dashing through the snow in my rusty Chevrolet. Down the road I go, sliding all the way. I need new piston rings. I need some new snow tires. My car is held together by a piece of chicken wire. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just flew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio is okay. Oh, what fun it is to drive this rusty Chevrolet.
Hi. Honda presents ways to make your holidays even more magical. Decorate your yard with real reindeer.
Oh, no. No, no, no. Please, not the azaleas.
Or you could just get a great deal on a Honda at the Happy Honda Days sales event. Hurry in to your Honda dealer.
At Honda Cars of Boston and Everett, it's the most wonderful time of the year with the Happy Honda Day sale going on until January 2nd. The prices have never been better. So visit Honda Cars of Boston today at 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett. Visit online at HondaCarsOfBoston.com or call 1-800-65-HONDA. That's 1-800-65-HONDA. Visit Honda Cars of Boston in Everett today.
Honda presents ways to make your holidays even more magical. Decorate your yard with real reindeer.
Oh, no, 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 please, not the azaleas.
Or you could just get a great deal on a Honda at the Happy Honda Days sales event. Hurry in to your Honda dealer.
Sullivan Tire is proud to be New England's Michelin Tire headquarters. Michelin Tires are known for their great tread design, durability, and handling. Stop in to your local Sullivan Tire and Auto Service today and check out our new lower pricing on such tires as the Michelin Premier AS, the Michelin Premier LTX, and so much more. Remember, we'll keep your car running right all season long. Stop in for our thorough factory-scheduled maintenance check. Our ASE-certified technicians will check out your battery and charging system, radiator and antifreeze, inspect your tires and air pressure, brakes, all system fluids, steering and suspension, belts, hoses, the exhaust system, exterior lights, wiper blades, and more. Head to any of our 68 locations to save big on a great selection of Michelin tires and check out the best auto maintenance in the industry. Call 877-592-TIRE or visit SullivanTire.com. Peace of mind driving. You deserve it. We provide it.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by making minimum payments? You should know. The credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-518-4020. 800-518-4020. That's 800-518-4020.
WROL Boston.
You're listening to the Car Doctor Program with Triple A's very own John Paul.
All of us here would like to take this moment to wish you a joyful holiday season. Remember to drive safely, wear your seatbelts, and be good to your car. Merry Christmas, everyone. Now back to the program.
Now, let's get back to the Car Doctor.
For rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just flew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor program. With us on the phone is, and I'm not even going to be close, Gene Giacchino. Gene, did I come close at all with that?
Yeah, not bad, John.
Not bad.
No.
and you and your brother co-own Honda Cars of Boston.
Well, actually, brothers.
Brothers.
There's four of us that that own and operate the dealership. We're all there on a daily basis. We each have our own roles there, so it's definitely a family operation.
And tell us how Honda Cars of Boston didn't necessarily, your family didn't necessarily start off as a Honda dealership, right?
No, that's correct. My dad and his partner both immigrated to the United States from Italy in the mid-50s or early-50s, and they were both automotive machinists by trade, and they got together and started a automotive machine shop in the late 50s, and then gradually phased that out and became auto dealers back in the late 60s.
And how long have you guys been a Honda dealer?
We're just actually this month in December we're celebrating our 42nd year. We became a Honda dealer in December of 1974.
And 1974 was, let's see, gas might have been in short supply. So you were selling cars that got what seemed like a million miles to the gallon back then.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, it sounds like you were, you know, you guys were in the right place at the right time with that. Although I'm still willing to bet some of your father's friends that owned Buick and Cadillac dealerships might have said, "What's wrong with you buying a Honda dealership?" And they probably look back now and go, "Why didn't we buy three?"
Sometimes it pays to be in the right place at the right time, I guess.
Yeah.
Back then, Honda just had one model. It had been introduced the year before, 1973, and that was the Honda Civic. So that's really what started it all for Honda. And like I said, we were in the right place at the right time.
And now the Honda Civic is, I mean, if you compare the 1974 Honda Civic to 2017 Honda Civic, you wouldn't even think they were made by the same company.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Yeah, the redesigned 2016 Civic has been a tremendous success, and Honda really did a wonderful job in the latest design of that model.
Yeah. Well, let's kind of take our listeners through the lineup. The Civic's a great car. One of my favorite little cars from Honda is the Fit. The Honda Fit is such a nice little car with plenty of room. It has, for a small car that gets almost like hybrid-like fuel economy, what a great little car it is.
It is, yeah. The interior space is really deceiving for the, the total dimensions of the vehicle, so it's extremely efficient packaging and a great little car, great little city car, and it's been a great vehicle for us.
Yeah, and kind of almost at the other end, the car that won, I belong to a press association called the New England Motor Press Association, and the car that won our overall winter vehicle award, so sort of the New England Motor Press Vehicle of the Year, the Honda Pilot. What a great car.
It is, yeah. Very versatile, great family vehicle, rides well, handles well, does everything. For drivers needing that type of vehicle in that type of space would want.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the last Honda that I became sort of smitten with, I guess, is the Ridgeline. The new Ridgeline, Honda did a great job with that.
Yeah, they really did. After a 2-year hiatus since the first generation Ridgeline went out of production in 14. We anxiously awaited the new one, and it's certainly exceeded ours and our customers' expectations. It has great capabilities as far as a mid-sized pickup truck, and it rides and handles like a sedan. So,
and it's got some cool features like that trunk that you can lock stuff away in it. It's watertight. A lot of people with a pickup truck are like, well, where do I put my other stuff, you know? And all of a sudden now, you know, Honda thought ahead and said, we're going to build this trunk. And a friend of mine, she writes, she's the auto editor for U.S. World and News Report. And she's not a big person. I would say she's probably like 5'2". But apparently she fit in the trunk of the Honda Ridgeline.
Yeah, I've seen videos of that situation.
Yeah, so.
Not sure I could do that, but.
Yeah, I know I can't do that. But let's talk about, you know, right now you got, it's kind of like year-end clearance at your dealership. And so what's going on? What, you know, good time of year to buy a car, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We're in the middle of our Happy Honda Days year-end clearance event. We still have a large selection of 2016 model year Hondas that we have to move off the lot. The 17s are here. We've got great programs from the manufacturer, 0.9 9% APR for 60 months on most 16 models, great lease deals. So it's really a great time to, you know, to consider a purchase of a new Honda or a certified pre-owned, which we have a great selection of, too.
Well,
another bit of great news, just moving ahead a little bit. Just yesterday, we received our first shipment of the completely redesigned fifth-generation 2017 CR-V. And tremendous vehicle, as you know. It's been getting great press, you know, since it was introduced to the press about a month or so ago. And so that's another exciting thing that's happening. But the big thing is Happy Honda Days.
Yep.
Running now through January 2nd.
Well, you know, let's talk about the CR-V for a minute. That when people say to me, "Hey, I'm looking for a compact SUV," you know, it was always sort of like, you know, I looked at those, you know, that sort of segment, and it was always easy. You know, you could tell somebody, "Oh, just go get the CR-V," no one ever came back to me and said, "Oh, that was a mistake." It was just always such, you know, from its very kind of humble beginnings when it came with a picnic table built in the back of it, till now, it was always an easy recommendation. And for a small vehicle, again, Honda manages, I don't know how they manage to figure out the space inside of them, but they do a really good job.
Yeah, the space packaging, or whatever you want to call it, is just incredible on all the models. It's very well thought out and you know, makes for a very user-friendly vehicle.
Yeah. No, it really is. Honda figures it out. And then Honda has a slightly smaller SUV, right?
Correct. The HR-V, which came out in 2016, you know, new model.
Yep.
Sized, you know, just below the CR-V, based on the Fit Honda Fit platform. With all-wheel drive, and it's done very well. Great vehicle.
And you said something early on that you and your brothers are at the dealership just about every day. I lived down on the South Shore. When it was time for us to buy a new car, we bought a Volkswagen, and we had, you know, there's a lot of Volkswagen dealers around, but down on the South Shore, the independent Volkswagen dealer, Paul Clark Volkswagen, owned a Ford store for years. And I liked the idea that I walked into the dealership and Paul was there. And I liked the idea of, you know, going into a car dealership and the guy who owns it is, you know, hanging around. Not that you hang around, but you know what I mean.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, in the last, 15 years, there's been a lot of consolidation, as you know, in the auto dealership business with, you know, large dealer groups buying multiple dealers and assembling groups, as you will. So, you know, as opposed to years ago where, you know, each dealership was independently owned and an integral part of the neighborhood. So we're trying to hang on to that tradition, if you will, you know, as long as possible.
Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, it always is great. I mean, here, in the Quincy area for years, you know, we had Bob Fitzgerald and South Shore Buick, and you go in and, you know, Bob would be at the dealership. You know, it was always one of those things. It always made me, you know, when people say to me, "Hey, I'm thinking about buying a car," and I'll say to them, you know, think about where you're buying the car and who's going to be there and who's going to be there to help you. And the idea that, you know, the guy who's essentially got his name on the building is there on a regular basis is, to me, a really good idea. So I like the idea of that. Tell us where you're located.
We're located in Everett. We're on Route 99. Our address is 100 Broadway.
Yep.
We're right on the Everett-Charlestown line.
Yep.
Right next to soon-to-be very large neighbors of the Wynn Casino and Resort. So just outside of Sullivan Square, located just about a mile from Route 93. So we're very, very accessible from, you know, different areas in Greater Boston.
And so you plan on staying there unless Mr. Wynn comes along and offers you like $1 billion to move, right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But we want to be neighbors for a long time. So.
Hey, we don't usually do this, but we have Judy on the phone who has a question about a Honda. Can you see maybe if you can help her?
I'll certainly try. Right. If I don't have the answer, I'll certainly get
okay.
it for her.
Hey, Judy, you're on the phone with me and Gene from Honda Cars of Boston. What's up? We can't really hear Judy. Oh, Well, maybe not. We might have to get to Judy separately. Hang on there, Judy. We'll try to get to you later. Oh, well. Didn't work. Anyway, so, you know, so some good deals. It's Honda Days. It's January 2nd as the sale is running. And you guys are gonna be there every day, and you're gonna try to help people get into their new vehicles, right?
Absolutely. And we also have a special offer or a gift for our Car Doctor listeners.
Okay.
With the purchase of any in stock new or pre owned Honda between now and December 24th at a dealership, Honda Cars of Boston, you'll receive at no cost, choice of either a remote starter or a credit towards $200 of the purchase of original Honda accessories.
Oh, wow.
On your new
Yeah. How about if the car doctor himself comes in?
Maybe we can work something out.
Maybe I can you give me a place to wash my car on a regular basis in the winter or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, like I said, it's so easy to recommend Honda vehicles just because, you know, when it comes to engineering and your father and his partner being machinists, they must look at the way, you know, Honda was building things and going, you know, this is well crafted stuff. They build some of the finest engineered products in the world, and not to take a shot at your Italian heritage with Fiat, but you know, but the whole idea of Honda just it's a good quality product. It's solid, and importantly, for somebody who keeps a car, whether you keep a car for a year or two or you keep a car for a long time, Honda vehicles hold their value for a really long time. Surprisingly, how long they hold their value, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Resale value is second to none in the segments that we compete in, and Honda fiercely protects that. That attribute. Honda doesn't do any fleet sales to rental mm-hmm. companies or whatnot, which tend to depress resale values. Everyone basically is sold one at a time to the individual consumer. So. And like you said, it's a car that lasts, and that's reflected in its resale value and ultimately in the overall cost of ownership of a Honda over the life cycle.
I have a coworker who has two Honda Pilots, and she didn't get rid of her oldest one because it only had 300,000 miles on it. And when she bought her newer one, I think it's already got 100,000 miles on it in the last, you know, couple years. So, but she expects it to keep running and running and running with just doing a little bit of preventative maintenance. So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, amazing.
No, it really is. Hey, Gene, thanks for taking time out of your Saturday, and enjoy the Christmas holiday coming up. And, I'm sure we'll talk soon.
Okay, John. Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
Take
and,
care.
And a joyful holiday season to you and all your listeners. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. You as well. Take care. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Bye now.
That was Gene from Honda Cars of Boston. Like he said, Honda Cars of Boston, right in Everett, right near where the new casino is going to be built. Let's see, is Judy still on? Judy, you still there? Judy? For some reason, we don't have Judy. She's... No, we can't hear her. I can't hear her. No. Don't know why. Okay, maybe. I don't know why. Let's try this line. Good morning. You're on the Car Doctor program. Maybe you need to dump that line. Good morning. Nope. Nothing. Huh. Okay, why don't we take a break and regroup, and, you know, maybe we can get the phones working the way they're supposed to again. They've been working fine up till now. I jinxed it. I said, hey, the phones are working great today. Well, one phone is working great. The other two lines, maybe not so great. So why don't we take a break? Why don't we play a little Santa Baby? That's a good idea. Play a little Santa Baby by Kayla Broadmeadow. There we go. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
Santa Baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. I've been an awful good girl, Santa Baby. And hurry down the chimney tonight.
sent a baby a 54 convertible to light blue. I wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be all so good if you check off my Christmas list. But Santa honey, I wanna run away. That's not a lie. I've been an angel all year, Santa baby, and hung down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, there's one thing I really do need.
Programs have helped you strengthen your marriage, raise godly children, and spoken to your spiritual health.
Your support here at the end of the year will help determine how effective Focus can be in your home this coming year.
Right now, your tax-deductible gift will be matched by a grant to double your impact.
Just log on to our station website and use the keyword family.
To give your gift, log on to WEZradio.com and enter the keyword family or click on the banner.
I'm a longtime fan of the stock market if it's done right. But one of the only reasons I'm a fan of it is because of Tradeway. Tradeway wants you to reach your biggest goals through taking small steps. In fact, their mission is to break down the confusing world of finance so that anyone can understand it. They are an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. So if you want some stellar stock market education from folks who can provide investment advice, they have an incredible group of qualified team members to help you every step of the way. The next Tradeway events are coming up soon. In fact, the next one is simply Step 1, Start Your Journey by Tradeway. The founder of Tradeway and CEO, Pastor David Mitchell, can help you with biblical principles that'll get you on your way. It's only $99.95 for your entire household, a full money-back guarantee, too. Register at 877-907-TRADE or go to Tradeway.com. Go to Tradeway.com. That's Tradeway.com. Tradeway, big goals, small steps.
Honda presents ways to make your holidays even more magical. Decorate your yard with real reindeer.
Oh, no, 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 please, not the azaleas.
Or you could just get a great deal on a Honda at the Happy Honda Days sales event. Hurry in to your Honda dealer.
At Honda Cars of Boston and Everett, it's the most wonderful time of the year with the Happy Honda Day sale going on until January 2nd. The prices have never been better. So visit Honda Cars of Boston today at 100 Broadway, Route 99 in Everett. Visit online at HondaCarsOfBoston.com or call 1-800-65-HONDA. That's 1-800-65-HONDA. Visit Honda Cars of Boston and Everett today.
Honda presents ways to make your holidays even more magical. Decorate your yard with real reindeer.
Oh, no, 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 please, not the azaleas.
Or you could just get a great deal on a Honda at the Happy Honda Days sales event. Hurry in to your Honda dealer.
WROL Boston.
You're listening to the Car Doctor Program with Triple A's very own John Paul. All of us here would like to take this moment to wish you a joyful holiday season. Remember to drive safely, wear your seatbelts, and be good to your car. Merry Christmas, everyone. Now back to the program.
You're listening to The Car Doctor.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Program. Let's try a very patient Judy.
Judy?
Yeah,
there we go. Okay.
Oh, miracle. Okay, great. So I was going to ask if they were ever going to bring back something like the Honda Element again. And here's why. We're part of the aging baby boomer population, and my spouse is getting handicapped. And we don't want a huge Odyssey or Sienna,
mm-hmm.
because the seats are too high to get into the front seat.
Yep.
But we want something easy to get into, but the Element had a low rear entry, so I could more easily load all the equipment we now need.
Mm-hmm.
They've done away with that. They did away with the Mazda. I think it was the MP5, which was a much smaller van.
Yep.
And I guess everybody, you know, loves SUVs, but the front seats are high up and the rear entry is really, I can't do a ramp, you know, to get both stuff in.
Yeah. Have you looked at the Honda HR-V?
The HR-V is sort of equivalent. We have a Forester.
Yep.
And it's getting old. And the HR-V is just about the same capacity. I would have liked something a little more room
mm-hmm.
for equipment than what we have.
Yeah. Have you looked at the new Forester?
We'll consider that. Again, it's a high entry for me. I have to get a curbside or thing to load the scooter.
Yeah. Because the Forester, where it's got that kind of tall, boxy design.
And
it's going to be different than, I mean, the Outback is, the problem with, for instance, like the Subaru Outback, which is a great little vehicle too. One of the things that some people have a problem with that is it has these kind of high door sills. So once you sit in it, you actually sit a little lower. But if you're having a little trouble lifting your leg up over the door sill, there's a little bit of sometimes for some people can act like a little bit of a trip. The other one is Mazda has a small SUV called the CX-3. CX-5 is the midsize one. CX-3. They have a smaller one. And there's a lot of these smaller SUVs. Buick has the Encore. Chevrolet has the Trax. Ford is coming out with a smaller one. So there are these subcompact SUVs that are coming out on the market within the next, there are a lot of them are out, but a lot of them are in the next, I would say, 6 months or so. We'll probably see even more of those.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have a little bit of patience, you might see a little bit more choices.
Yeah, okay. We're coaxing our car along. Wait
for
the model.
Yeah, it was funny. The Element was one of those love it or hate it cars. Either people just really thought they were great or they thought they were ugly as sin, one or the other. It was, and I thought they were, I liked them because they stood out. They were a little bit different. And I remember years ago, I did a story about cars that older people drive, and I pulled up next to a guy in an Element who was probably 70 years old or so, and I said to him, why do you drive this car? How come you don't drive a Buick or a Crown Victoria or something like that? And he said to me, because it does everything I want. It has plenty of room in the back. It's easy to get in and out of. It's like sliding into a kitchen chair. And he said, besides, I don't look like an old guy when I drive it.
Gotten used to it. I didn't like them at the time, and now I think they're really great looking.
Yeah, and the small, you know, as, you know, and, you know, baby boomers are the largest growing part of the population there is. And as, you know, people are getting a little bit older, the idea of, you know, a small SUV, a lot of people are like, I don't want an SUV, but actually a small SUV is one of the most practical things because you can put stuff in it if you want to, but they're actually easier to get in and out of than a sedan.
Yes.
Yeah. But I would wait and see what comes up, kind of, you know, coax your Element along a little bit. I don't think Honda's going to come out with an Element anytime soon because they have the HR-V based on the fit. So I don't think they're going to come out with something tall and boxy, sort of what you were looking at with that low low rear deck height. I think you're going to be a little bit stuck with what you're looking for. But I'd look at the new Forester just to see, you know, and maybe even the Outback. The Outback might be, you know, a little bit, maybe it's a little priced out of your range, but that has a lower rear deck and it has a ton of cargo space. So, yeah, it might work too.
Okay, thanks for your help.
All right, thanks, Judy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
617-770-3030. And you know what we need to do? We need to give away some auto show tickets, which is just what Karen wants to do, is write down a whole bunch of names, right? But the Boston Auto Show is coming up, and I'm frantically looking for more information because, you know, I can't find what I'm looking for about the auto show. But, here we go. What a better way to do it than right off the tickets. So January 12th through the 16th, the Boston Auto Show, and also the 12th through the 16th, the RV and Camping Show. So I have tickets for both. So why don't we give away four pairs of tickets to each. How's that? So if Karen doesn't mind being busy, and I think she doesn't mind, we'll see. You ready? So all you have to do to get tickets to either the RV or the camping show is call up and say, "Hi, Karen, Merry Christmas. Can I get tickets to the RV or the RV Camping Expo or the Boston Auto Show?" And the show is going to be Thursday, January 12th from 4 to 10, right through Monday, January 16th from 10 to 6. And the RV show starts a little bit later. It actually starts on Friday from 4 to 8, from 4 to 9, runs Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So if you want more information about either show, bostonautoshow.com or bostonrvexpo.com, and you can learn more about it and find out what you want to get. And for somebody like Judy who was looking for a car, what a better way to do that than wander around the auto show and okay. All of a sudden now you got 150 makes and models of cars sitting there. Go try them all out. Go sit at them. Go see what's the right height. You're not going to get to drive them. Well, actually, there is some driving that takes place. It's outside, but driving around South Boston, yeah, a little bit of a challenge sometimes. But hey, you know, it's a little early yet, but Paul Sullivan's just sitting right there. Awesome. Right there, hanging out.
Hey, see the snow coming down like that?
Yeah, I do.
See, that's coming down like in a slow curtain.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's the same effect.
Is that like the slow curtain that's ending my life? Is that what
you're saying? Well, I was going to say that. I don't know, maybe, but that's the same kind of effect you have when you have a detached retina.
Is that what it is, really?
That's what they say, yeah. I never had one, but. Yeah. It's kind of pretty once you're finished driving in it.
Yeah. Well,
look at I made my own parking space.
I saw that. Yeah. You know, we got Tom on the phone. Let's see if we can still talk to Tom. You want to talk to Tom? Tom's a good guy. You want to talk to him?
Sure. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Isn't it nice that we can say Merry Christmas again?
Merry Christmas.
I think we could have said it before. It was okay.
Well, I always did.
I always did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you feel like
you can say. When they say happy holidays because they want to be politically correct. I said, so are you into politics? And then there's the hesitation, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, never mind. So anyway, you know.
I got a call at school yesterday. I'll throw this in.
All right.
And, you know, I deal with a lot of parents and a lot of things that happen in a public school. And this is the first time I ever got this. And she said, I am so happy that you guys can say Merry Christmas again. And I said, we always did. But that's the perception. You're right, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, I try to say Merry Christmas, and if Merry Christmas isn't appropriate, I'll say Merry anything.
Oh, 'tis the season.
It is the season, yeah.
When you were talking to Judy there, you hit a little sore spot with me as far as that door sill.
Yep.
I don't know what you call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I deal with MS, multiple sclerosis, trying to lift that left leg up over that little lip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, certain cars, like I said, it goes into like a little pocket.
Right.
When you get in and out. So those are key things. Like when I talked to you, I think it was last week, about going to a place where I can buy or look at different vehicles to see how I can get in and out of it easier. And I think it was CarMax.
Yeah, CarMax is a big dealership with a lot of different makes and models of cars.
Yes, in fact, my brother-in-law who works for he's a mechanic for a car dealership. He says they're really a good place to go to see what you're looking for. The prices, the cars are very good also, but the price is a little bit on the high side.
Yep.
But you know what? It's a good place to go.
It's a good place to shop around. And, you know, if Judy wants to wait till January 12th, you know, she can go to the Boston Auto Show and really look around and, you know, wander around there and see what fits. And, you know, like she said, with her husband, if she wants to, you know, take the scooter in the auto show and kind of wander around the auto show with the scooter, you know, that's fine too.
Right.
I mean, one thing about the new Boston Convention and Exhibition Center, it's pretty easy. You know, once you're there, it's pretty easy to maneuver around the side of it. So,
I have to,
It's spread out enough so you can get around and look around. So
I haven't been to an auto show in many years. Do they still have the girl that stands in the next to the car and goes around 360?
Sometimes, but they also have guys that stand next to the car.
Oh, they do. Okay. Yeah.
That is an icon from the past, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can visualize that very easily.
Yeah, so apparently to see, you know, if you go to the European auto shows, as although it's funny, I guess he's just a journalist down at the Providence Journal who writes the automotive column next to my question and answer column. I happened to run into him in New York at the auto show, and the Ferrari dealership had very attractive women, and he looks at me and goes, "Yeah, kind of the old days with the birds up on the stage," and he's English, so he, you know, so. And I'm like, and I kind of stopped for a minute. I'm with the birds. Oh, I get it now. That's some English reference to women, I suppose. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he was. But he said, yeah, you don't see that. And he even said, you know, even in the UK, the shows just don't really have that. But I guess it's some of the other European shows they still do. But yeah, they have an equal complement of good looking men and women presenting the cars. So
I noticed that on the game shows too now.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, if I have a situation, a friend of ours, she couldn't find her key to get into her vehicle on
Uh-oh.
Thanksgiving Day.
Uh-oh.
And I had an extra vehicle because my wife and I were going in her minivan, and I had my Ford Ranger pickup. So I said, if you don't mind taking the pickup, it's yours, you know. She has one key, and it's for a 2006 Ford Escape?
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound right?
Could be,
okay. Only one key. When she bought the vehicle, it only came with one key.
Mm-hmm.
To get another key, they said if you go to a dealership, it's going to cost $150.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other option?
Well,
you
I mean,
have one key to get another one that will work?
Well, sometimes
open the door and the start the vehicle?
Yeah, it, with the Ford products, it's kind of funny because it depends on how many keys have been lost up until this point, because I think Ford only allows you to make four duplicates. And then what happens is you have to, like, do some major reprogramming at that point. So it a good locksmith can usually duplicate a key. They have the tools necessary, and they can do it for probably two-thirds of what the dealership can do it for. But it's still going to be $100.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned a place down in Plymouth, AC Automotive or something like that, that will take that key, and they have some place where you can put in a blank and program it.
For instance, over here in there is these kiosks that I've seen, and I don't know enough about them yet. I saw one at Walmart or Home Depot or something. But for instance, right here in Quincy, Kenny's Locks that has been here forever. They for years always said, you know, we can duplicate most new car vehicle keys. So, you know, it's just a matter of, yeah, it's just what they have to be certified by this kind of almost like an anti-theft sort of thing. They have to post a bond. It's different than, you know, going to a hardware store and cutting a key. Because it's part of the anti-theft system, they have to have this other certification type thing. And I would try just a good locksmith. You know, Flying Locksmith, which has been around forever and ever, they can duplicate keys like that too. But like I said, Kenny's Lock. Where does she live?
She lives in Kingston.
In Kingston?
But, you know, she works up in that area, so finally, what, Weymouth?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, they're in Weymouth, and then Kenny's been around 1,000 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, those are great ideas.
Okay.
They could do it.
All right.
Good. Well, thank you, guys. Have a great Christmas.
You as well.
No, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Let's see.
When you're saying duplicating the keys, you just duplicating the part of the key that inserts into the lock, or are you just saying the
there's
the
actually
electronics
built into the key, so the key has to be programmed so it will actually start the car.
Okay.
If you're just looking for a key that does nothing more than open the door, well, you can get that, but you're going to try to start the car and the alarm's going to go off.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see if we can get Dennis. Dennis?
Yes. Good morning, John-Paul.
Good morning.
I had a question about an alternator.
Yeah.
I have a 2008 Ford van, right?
Yeah.
The alternator died, and I had a 99 F-150 in the yard with a remanufactured alternator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference on the two of them is one's a 115 volt in the 2008, I mean, 1,000.
Yep.
You know,
I know what you mean. Yep.
Actually,
yep.
A 115 amp.
Yep.
And the one in the F-150 is a 130 amp.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, if the connections make up, they're the same. But would it affect the 2008 electric system? You know,
no, because it's only...
Like
it's
within a higher amp?
No, it's only going to draw the amount of amperage that it's going to be capable. You know, the vehicle's only going to draw the amount of amperage it's asked for. So the difference between a, you know, say it was a 90-amp alternator and you tried to draw 100 amps out of it, you'd basically overwhelm the alternator. But if you put a 150-amp alternator in there and you still tried to draw 90 amps, it just means it's resting, basically. So, yeah.
Oh, so
In fact, what happens is when they do, you know, and this is a little going back, but when they used to do police conversions, when they used to take a Crown Victoria for police use, first thing they do is pull out the stock alternator, put 130, 150 amp alternator in to run all the extra electronics in the car.
Wow.
But it's still going to, you know, when the car starts up, it's still going to be, you know, 13.8 to, you know, 15.2 volts, but it's the amperage is only going to draw what it's being asked to work at. So the higher amperage alternator, no problem at all.
Very good. Merry Christmas.
Okay, Merry Christmas. All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. And there's Paul Sullivan still sitting there on his phone. I don't know what he does on his phone these days. He's just, you know, he's got his doctorate degree all done. What do you do over there?
I'm a lifelong learner.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out when it's going to stop snowing.
Never. It's going to start now. It's going to stop. This is why I'm glad I went on vacation a week or two ago.
Oh, boy. Yeah. How was it? I forgot. How you went to Florida, right?
No, I went to the Dominican Republic.
Oh, the Dominican Republic. That's
which is almost like Florida. Yeah.
One step beyond.
Yeah. If you stand at mile marker zero at Key West and look out past Cuba, look over Cuba, you see the edge of Haiti. You walk around the island, and then you end up in the Dominican.
Why'd you go there?
It's cheap, like me.
But was it nice? Did you enjoy it?
It was very nice.
Excellent.
It depends. You'd get up in the morning. It was a little overcast.
Right.
It was about 75 degrees.
Yeah.
Around 9:30, the overcast would sort of burn off.
Okay.
And then it would turn into about 82 degrees.
That's good.
And the water was crystal clear and blue.
Good.
And the food was endless.
Excellent.
And pretty much anything you could eat or drink was there at your whim.
So you basically turned into Jimmy Buffett.
Other than he's a workaholic.
Well,
he's actually
in Manhattan too, according
to he tells a good story, but he's actually a workaholic. But I actually embraced his lifestyle of songs, but other than that. But
all right. Well, that sounds good. You asked me what I was doing on my phone. My next door neighbor, whom we love, Claire and I love, they moved, came to retirement. They moved to Palm City, Florida.
Okay.
So what I was doing on the phone was looking up the temperature in Palm City.
78 degrees in Palm City, Florida.
78 degrees. It's not even 10 o'clock yet. And you know what it's going to be on Christmas? I'm dreaming of a bright 83
degrees. Where is Palm City? Any idea?
Florida.
Yeah.
but I think it's
east or west?
No, I think it's on the Atlantic coast, and it may be a little bit north of Miami. It's between Miami and Orlando.
Okay.
But right. I'm not a... My Florida geography is weak.
Yeah.
I have to get down there more to...
Yeah. Yeah.
To solidify it.
Yeah.
But can you imagine... I got up early. The reason I'm in so early is roads weren't as bad as I thought, but thought they were going to be, and you know, because it's snowing out.
Yeah, I kind of did the same thing. I was here before the kids that do Sunrise Sports, so I was sitting out in the car reading the paper just in case. So
I tried to find the lines in the parking lot. Obviously, they do a good job.
Yeah.
Hey, there's Nat King Cole.
I know. Yeah, appropriately, that you know we know him for.
That's right, Chestnuts Roasting.
Exactly. Other Christmas type songs. Hey, I haven't said this in a couple weeks, live at least. But coming up next, the very best in Irish music with Paul Sullivan and the Irish Hit Parade. Until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car. We will be here Christmas Eve day, as will Sully, and as will at least half the sports kids. I think they're going to be here. So we will be here, and I believe next week my guest is going to be Junior D'Amato. Till next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, be good to your car. Talk to you all then. Bye-bye.